The MTM podcast is back at the Iowa State Fair. Today, we're going to be talking about dairy. We're doing all sorts of podcasts here at the great Iowa State Fair. We know that your state fair is always good, but the one is in Iowa is one we spend a lot of time covering at Iowa Public Television, which is the sponsor of and the operator of this podcast, as well as the Market to Market TV show. I'm Paul Yeager, and today we're going to be talking dairy. Mitch Schulte, the executive director of the Iowa State Dairy Association, is with us. And well, Mitch, first off, it's morning, morning for the average person. For a dairy person, when it comes around 9 a.m., you've already been up for like 5 hours.
Absolutely, especially here at the dairy show. You'll see people coming in the barn about 3 a.m. and start washing and milking and getting everything in the perfect situation so the consumers have a good experience and they want their animals presentable.
So some people will go, well, it's the fair, everything's out the window. No, a cow still needs to be milked, even at the fair, no matter where they're at.
Our dairy farmers are strong people. They work all year long, and a dairy cow's got to be milked every single day, rain, snow, sleet, or shine. If you're sick, the farmer's still got to go to the barn, so they milk.
So we are in a spot that the average person cannot go. We're in the milk parlor, and that tank is full right next to me. Where is this the milk that comes from the, I guess you could call it observatory, but you call it the milking window, is that what it's called here?
It's the milking parlor, so you can come down, they have milking demonstrations during fairs, so you can see multiple times a day and milk cows, but they'll milk and then it comes over. We're standing right next to the bulk tank right now, which houses all of our milk that comes here at the fair.
So how long are dairy cows here at the fair?
So the bulk of dairy cattle are here until Saturday night. But we do have the Boulevard of Breeds, and that will have multiple dairy animals. And it also houses the iMac. I milk a cow.
Okay.
You get the experience of
I've done that before. You bet. The hand milk a cow. And that is run through Iowa State University,
correct,
one of the programs there. Is that right?
That's through the Iowa State University Dairy Science Club. So they have all their members come out, and they get to give consumers an excellent experience, hand milk a cow.
So you have several touch points for people here to see whether it's through the milking parlor window, whether it's I milk a cow, and then there's the whole dairy consumption side of things. So there's many opportunities for people to see dairy in action. And we didn't even talk about walking through the barns.
Yeah, you not only can walk through and see the dairy animals, but you can have a hands-on experience here. There's calves that you can pet. You can see how the cows are milked. And then, like you said, enjoy some excellent product. We have the dairy bar right behind us.
Yeah.
And there's hand-dipped shakes, hand-dipped cones, and some of the best ice cream you'll have.
That's one of the stops, I have to admit, that I do make. And there'll be times at peak times of the day, there'll be 20 people in each of the two or three lines there.
Yeah, we actually have four lines.
Four lines
now. And there's at least 20 people there in the middle of the day. If you find yourself waiting in line, it's worth it. Trust me.
That's the sign of a good product, right?
Yeah,
is when
absolutely.
You have to wait in line for something.
Yes.
So when I'm talking or when I'm walking among those barns, I can probably talk to a dairy producer. That's kind of what you do on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. Yeah. My role is to go out, meet with the dairy farmers, see what's going on at the farm, what their concerns are, and then report back. And I want to use that information to help protect their freedom to operate, but also make their life better. So our role within ISDA is to be the legislative voice for our dairy producers.
And those producers, it's been well reported in a lot of 2019. It's been a struggle for, you're seeing these longtime family generation dairies close, whether it's in Wisconsin or Minnesota or Iowa. It has been a challenge. Then there was a little bit of light. Where are we at right now?
Well, we're still dealing with some low milk prices. We've actually been dealing with those for the last several years, maybe 4 years, and that's really affected our dairy farmers. They've had to change the way that they do their living and run their operation, and that's caused some of them to step away. We are happy that we've maintained the same cow number here in the state, so we're still right at about 220,000 cows, but the number of dairy farms is declining.
And that is for those that know dairy from growing up in it. And it's an emotional thing for a lot of these people.
It is. These farmers don't only do it because it's their living. They do it because they love what they do. They care about their animals, and most of them will tell you those animals are basically part of the family. So even though they're struggling, they're not willing to give that up. Some people would say, why don't they do something that's easier? That's not the way our farmers operate.
What's the biggest thing? You talk about legislation. That's kind of what it is. What is it legislatively that can help out dairy people?
Well, right now, the biggest thing, it's easy. Everybody's talking about it, USMCA. We need that trade deal to go through. We need it to be ratified by our Congress and senators and make sure everything is done with it in 2019. Mexico is our number one export market. Roughly in 2018, we accounted for 80% of the Mexican imports of dairy. So we're a strong provider for them too. They rely on us, but in order for us to continue to provide them that good product, we need that trade deal in place.
And that's something that the head of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, Tom Vilsack, has been working hard on. His folks talk to us quite a bit on Market to Market about that show. How does that work? Because he's a different group than you, but you're all kind of fighting for dairy.
Yeah, we all work together. That's the good part of dairy. There's several organizations that work on behalf of farmers, but we all network and work together. We know we have a stronger voice when we're together, and we each have our own role. Your checkoff end is facing towards consumers, and then you have ISDA that's more of a political voice, and then you have Tom Vilsack who's just trying to build our export market for all the farmers across the nation.
You talk about Mexico, but Canada is an area that I know he has talked about trying to get more product into. How do you, I mean, you're in Iowa, but we're not that far from Canada. How important is your role in trying to work with them, or do you let someone else handle that and you, how does that, what's that like?
For the ISDA, we focus on state issues. So we don't do too much on the federal level, but we do support National Milk Producers Federation and the Dairy Export Council. So if there's something that we can help by signing on or being a voice to help push a federal issue, we do. We serve our role there.
What? So the federal issue is big. Canada would be a great market for you to get into.
Yeah, Canada would be a fantastic market. We know with USMCA, we'll gain a little bit of exports that we can send there. But the big thing that's happening there, they have something called the Class 7 milk price system. And basically, it allows them to undercut the rest of the world on the world market. And it really has affected the way that our farmers get paid here in America. So we need to see that pricing system go away. That's the biggest thing that comes out of USMCA is it will eliminate that Class 7 milk price.
And do you think that that's one of those things that won't be cherry-picked out or is going to be, I mean, how do you have to worry about that type of thing?
You know, when they went in and started working on USMCA, National Milk Producers Federation did a fantastic job of being at the table and saying, this is what we need. So when they were working on that agreement with Canada, that was one of the number one priorities was our dairy producers. So I don't foresee that Class 7 coming out of that agreement. It's going to have to stay in for it to get passed.
So the United States, Canada, Mexico, very important markets. Are there world markets that you care about or want to get into?
Well, obviously China. They're our number two export market. So it's extremely important that we continue to work on that trade deal. We know it's going to take time. We need to renegotiate that deal. But the sooner we can get that done, the more it helps all of agriculture. And then there are several other world markets out there that obviously we want to get into. We want to increase and have free trade with them. Any free trade that we can create is going to help our dairy producers. We have the ability to make a lot of milk. We just need to find a home for it.
We're very good at production in this
Absolutely.
Country in almost every agriculture aspect. And so that's always a source of pride. You talked about the number of farms might be reducing and the cows are the same, but they're all producing more genetics and technology. What have been some breakthroughs that have allowed some of that production to increase?
Well, there's several things there. One of the biggest things is our farmers shift from just wanting production to cow comfort. We realize making our cows comfortable and happy and making sure they have a stress-free life gets us more milk. So our goal from the time we wake up to go bed is to make the cow comfortable. And she gives us the product afterwards. That's one of the biggest things. But we've seen robots and all kinds of technology to eliminate labor. And that's been a real gift for some of those smaller dairy producers where labor is a struggle. They are switching to robotic systems, which is really cool to see.
Well, how much has the labor issue been? How do you get involved with that? And we know that that's always kind of lurking there that some people know about and some people don't know about how that labor situation is. How do you weigh in on that issue?
Well, just like the rest of agriculture would tell you, labor is a major issue. It is a constant struggle for dairy producers, not only to find help, but find good help. So we're constantly there supporting them. We're looking towards National Milk once again on guidance on where they're going on a federal level. That is definitely a federal issue. It needs to be fixed. But I don't know how fast that's going to go. But we definitely keep pushing for a good path for citizenship to make sure we maintain the workers that we need.
It's always been an issue,
yeah,
for all of agriculture. You yourself, you're here at the fair in a couple of different ways, but one of them is just as you're one of the guys in the barn working your own cows, right?
I am, yeah. We're fortunate. I show jerseys, so we brought up 14 jerseys, 9 cows, and some heifers. So yesterday I got to show and get up early, so I get to experience it both as a farmer myself, but also as someone who works for our great dairy farmers.
Where's the farm at?
We're over in Watkins, Iowa.
Okay.
Yep.
So then what's your operation like then in Watkins?
So we're a little bit different than most. We actually do not sell milk. We utilize all the milk on our own farm, but we primarily show and sell show animals.
Okay. Yep. And that's a thing that people have done, and that's one of those niches. How did you get into that in the first place?
Well, we milked cows in the first place. So when we decided to step away from milking several years ago, we couldn't let go of all of our dairy animals. So we kept the hobby going and kept selling animals, and we're fortunate we sell animals all over the United States.
So you wear a hat as a producer, as one that works with lawmakers, as an executive director. You also have a third hat, too.
I do. I work for Midwest Dairy, where we promote dairy products on behalf of our farmers. We're here at the fair. We have an ice cream booth. We also have a couple days in the egg building where we interact with consumers. So we are constantly running around trying to make sure our consumers understand that dairy should be part of their diet, should be part of their life, and it's a healthy choice.
How do you see this opportunity? I mean, do you see this as a great opportunity at a big fair like this with almost a million people that come through?
Well, you just said the key part there, a million people. It's obviously a fantastic opportunity. I don't think consumers walk through this fair just to walk through. They want to learn things. They want to see new things. So if we have the ability standing out in the barn, somebody stops and asks a question, we'll always answer and always try to tell our story so you can understand what we're doing.
I had a conversation with someone just last night who's from Des Moines, not lives here now, but said for years they had no idea that there were animals or anything like that. So you have a whole bunch of people that come up to the north side, and they might go down the Grand Concourse and never make it down here. So how do you get people who are up on the, we'll call it the city side, and never make it to the ag side? It's hard to miss the ag side at the fair.
It is. It's kind of strange for me to even think that you would stay on that side and not come over. We have one of the greatest state fairs in the world, so we can't complain about the number of animals that are here. It really just takes our consumers' interest to come across and see all the great animals and all the great experiences that we have over on this side of the fairgrounds.
And it shouldn't be, and I would guess that's kind of hard with your life in work, is that sometimes there is that rural and urban who don't always mix, and the farm folk are like, well, I can't, how do they not know that we have to milk twice a day, or that the milk doesn't just come from the store, it comes from a cow? I mean, it's a nonstop battle for both sides of that fence.
Yeah, we definitely understand that there's a divide there, and we're trying to bridge that gap. The one thing that we all have is shared values. We want to make sure our consumers understand we care about our animals. We treat them great. We want to make sure they're healthy and happy. And that's the same thing they want to do with their pets or their dogs or cats or children, whatever. So there's definitely that shared value, and that's where we want to reach those consumers.
It's all about shared value, and it's all about the comfort. So I've seen people on Instagram or Twitter that really kind of talk about, they've got a big platform with people, and they say, here I am comforting the animal, it's a fan, and she'll say or he'll say, look at what I'm doing for the animal. I mean, social media has probably helped you for some of those producers. That's been their direct marketing, I guess, in how the dairy industry
Absolutely.
Works.
Absolutely. It's so easy to put something on Facebook, even a picture of your morning chores. You don't even need a caption really on it, just so people can see what you're doing out there and understand what life is like on a farm. I think there is the gap there that there's not the understanding. Farmers get up at 4 in the morning, sometimes sooner, and they don't go to bed till well after the sun goes down. So when you pick up that gallon of jug of of nice quality milk, there's a lot of work that has went into that.
There's always something that needs to be done, whether you get up at 3 or 5 or 7 or whatever your schedule is. Someone's worked real hard to get that product to
Absolutely.
Your table. All right, so the other things you got to do here at the fair, like I said, we're next to the bulk tank, and I'm looking at the show. It looks like we've got some younger exhibitors that are heading out of the ring. What do you think it's when you see stuff like that, when you see those people who are showing who looks like, if I look at most of those ages, they're all under 20. Some of them are 10, 15. What's that? What do you think?
I look out there, and I see the next generation of dairy champions. That is the future of our industry. They're going to be telling the story someday, and they relate to our new customers coming up in school. So we care about that group. We want to make sure we work with that group, and we're extremely proud that they're here at the fair to show off their dairy experience.
So you do more show stuff. So when you look at, she's struggling right there, but she got them right back up. That's a life experience, too, because you can quickly fall, but you got to get yourself right back up. I mean, the show ring is such a great extension of life.
Yes. It not only teaches you to win and lose, naturally, but it's more than just walking your animal into the show ring when you come to the fair. There's people out in that barn that I've been seeing since I've been 4 years old. So we know them like family. We wait for this time of year to go have conversations with somebody we haven't seen all year long. So it's so much fun coming to fair.
And I see one of the animals go in, and he's probably, I'm going to guess, about 12. And he's got six people behind him. They're all pulling for him, let alone whoever's in the ring. I mean, if that doesn't tug at your heartstrings, I don't know what won't.
Absolutely. It's fun to see the first generation to the last generation and the proud look on someone's face when their kid goes out and wins a class. It really makes you feel good and proud of the people that you work for.
So as a shower, do you yourself still get in the ring, or is somebody else in your operation do that for you?
Right now, me and my brothers all show. I have two other brothers, and I did show yesterday, so we did good. Can't complain.
Yeah, okay.
We had junior champion, intermediate champion, and premier breeder and exhibitor, so don't want to toot our own horn, but we did really well.
So when you go in, what's all right, we have to talk real quiet into them. What's some of your secrets? Are you a bling guy, or is it the animal has to look a certain way? Do you have to? I mean, I know it all gets factored in, but what are things that you really try to focus on when you go in the ring?
The most important thing for us is the animal, making sure she looks as best as she possibly can. That's our job. After that point, it's the judge's decision, and whatever decision he makes is the one we're going to live with. So we don't complain. It's one person's opinion on that particular day. And as long as we're here and our animals look as best as possible, that's all you can do.
Sarah Pratt is the longtime designer and builder of the Butter Cow at the Iowa State Fair. And she told me this year that one of the things that she does, it used to be she'd go to a farm, look at how they move, look at how they, you know, interact. But now she says she watches the dairy shows online because she wants to see how they work in a different area and how they walk into a ring and things like that. So, you know, she's trying to make that butter cow as realistic as possible.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's an incredible testament to how she cares about her corner of connecting your industry to the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's amazing the amount of research that she does. And matter of fact, when I started here a couple years ago, and I worked directly with Sarah quite a bit, I walked in one day and I made a comment about the cow joking, and it was changed. So I like to razz her up and tell her, come on, can you fix the ribs? Or a little low in the pins. I make fun of her, but no, she does an absolutely fantastic job, not only of sculpting, but she tells her story.
Yeah.
And the history of that butter cow is amazing. So we thank Sarah for what she does.
She's a great ambassador for you.
She is.
And she probably, I mean, I joked with her in my interview was, you know, that this is like everybody talks about, well, did you see what the butter cow looked like? Did you go see I mean, is that pressure? And she says, well, a little bit, but I just, you know, I do what I do. And then she'll talk to people, whoever wants to speak, and gladly show off her work. And I would imagine that's the same for a lot of your consumers that you work with, too. If any of us wanted to go to a farm, they'll absolutely roll out the door. Now, they might scoff a little bit. Oh, crap, now I really got to clean the barn and make sure that that's all done and get the broom ready. But absolutely, they'll show people. So if someone wants to go visit a farm or is curious about a farm, what do you think they should do? Call you or call someone else?
There's a couple different options. If you know the farmer in your community that you're interested in what they're doing on their farm, reach out to them, maybe message them on Facebook. They'll usually respond and they'll open their doors to you. We also, during June, that's National Dairy Month, we have multiple open houses, usually 8 or 9 all around the state. And those open houses, you come in, you tour the whole farm, usually get a meal with them, and a lot of fun experiences also are tied into those open houses. So look at June, see if you can get out on some of those bigger open houses for free.
All right, well, let's continue our conversation in a moment, but we appreciate Mitch Schulte, the Executive Director of the Iowa State Dairy Association. Thank you, Mitch, for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll continue our dairy conversation now with John Maxwell out of Donahue, Iowa. And, John, let's describe to people, we're in the middle. It's the dairy barn right now. Those beef people, you just don't want anything to do with them.
They're coming later. We're going to be long gone by that time they come.
You're the leadoff batter.
That's right.
In the fair.
Right.
You've been here for days.
It's our job to get it off right, to start this fair and get it going well. And then they take over, and then it maybe is downhill from there, or maybe they take it a little bit further. We'll see.
So, John, where are we at? It looks like I see a few animals that are these yours?
We have Jersey dairy cows that we bring every year from our farm, and we love coming to the state fair. It's a great way to get together. I mean, all the way for me, it's renewing relationships, talking about cows, talking about dairy, promotion of dairy, and all the things, the great things that surround dairy.
So, John, you as an exhibitor, are you one that gets into the ring now, or you let somebody else do that?
My ring days are over.
Why? Why did you retire?
Well, because I think just like the great baseball players, they know when it's time to let the younger ones take over. So there's a couple things I don't do. I don't show, and I don't clip. Those are two things that with my seniority, I'm able to say, not doing that.
So you make the trip. It's about, I'd say, 2.5 hours here from...
2.5 hours here from Donahue, Iowa, and which is near the Quad Cities, Davenport area.
You come, and it takes about... what day did you get here? Tuesday?
We got here on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
We have to be in here by 9 o'clock, and so we left around 4:35 just to give us a cushion to get here. We get here, we unload, we get packed in, and by 11 o'clock, we're all settled in, and the cows are starting to settle in and used to the new surroundings and everything else. We prepare for the show. We showed yesterday. Today's Friday, so we showed yesterday. Had a great day. We prefer to bring all cows because our show starts at noon, not at 7:30, 8 o'clock a.m.
Okay.
And I've got other things that I do to promote dairy here at the fair. The foods area, I sponsor a couple contests, one of them about cheese curds, one of them about beef. And so that is a part of my mornings here at the fair to promote in other ways. And the whole goal for me is to promote dairy to the public, which is a wonderful job to take on.
So is that under the Cinnamon Ridge jerseys?
That's under the Cinnamon Ridge. If you looked at it, it would be Cinnamon Ridge's favorite cheese curd recipe, and this year Cinnamon Ridge's favorite beef and pork recipe.
Okay.
So, and I was a judge for the first time this year, and that was very wonderful. In fact, I'm thinking about splitting the beef and the pork into two more to promote pork. We have pork on our farm. We have beef on our farm. As in Angus cow-calf, and we also have dairy. So I'm a little bit like I grew up, a mixed of a lot of things, but nevertheless, promoting agriculture is in my core and in my fiber.
So you have this contest with cheese curds, so I got to ask you, what makes a good cheese curd to you?
A good cheese curd, pretty fresh, warm, and it squeaks. If they don't squeak, put them in the microwave for 10 seconds, and then they squeak. The creamier, the better. Jerseys, which is what we milk, has high butterfat, high protein, and they're very creamy cheese curds. So we make cheese curds on our farm, and you can buy them in the Quad City area. One of the best ones is the I-80 truck stop.
Oh, yeah, right there off of Walcott.
Yeah, well, they go through pounds and pounds a week right there. But that creamy cheese curd is just delicious for me. So that's, and we hand cut all of our cheese curds.
You do?
Yes, we do.
So then how many people on your farm? You mentioned a couple of daughters. Are they back on the farm?
We have one daughter's on the farm that runs the robotic dairy. You're not looking at a guy that's great with robots and computerization. So I've turned that dairy over to her several years ago. My other daughter is actually a fifth grade teacher, and this is how she spends her summers.
Well, that's a good way to do it.
It is. It is.
So you, the Davenport area is home. That's where you grew up. You did grow up. Same farm or it's close that, by?
It's same farm, but the farm that the dairy is on, that my wife and I have, is on is near Donahue, and I bought that in 1988. The farm that I grew up on is near Walcott.
Okay.
And so my wife and I farm that, and she has three girls that are in the that are part of our family, and one of them is part of the operation as well.
And it's in Scott, all of it in Scott County?
All of it in Scott County, Iowa.
Yeah, beautiful area there, and just a wonderful spot. So you, did you have visions in the 80s when you were coming through high school that you wanted to continue in the ag industry?
I did not know until my third year of college. I graduated with a degree in psychology, of all things, from the University of Iowa. I was following in my brother's footstep of being a doctor. And my father said, no way. You have to have a diploma in your hand before you can go on in life. Great advice. I have a degree in psychology, and I always say I never use it, but I use it every day. And so purchased my first farm in 1988.
Was that an easy process?
That was not. I was turned down by seven banks, and the eighth bank gave me a loan for $800 an acre land. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And then in 97, my world changed. I was named the National Outstanding Farmer. And John Deere came to me and said, will you do tours for us? So that launched me in the tour business, which also launched me into the promotion of agriculture business. So I see a lot of visitors, a couple thousand foreigners, foreign farmers that we have on the farm, also a couple thousand domestic adults, all the way from a tour of the robotic barn that we have, that we milk cows mm-hmm. with robots, to just a mystery tour of what is about ag. And my theme for all of my tours is education. John Deere taught me if you promote education, they're going to leave smarter than when they came, and that is going to benefit them, and it'll never get old. You can always renew what the new things are in agriculture. And then we see about 3,000 kids from the schools of the area, basically.
Okay.
Second grade and lower is usually what comes.
So with John Deere, they have, you know, corporate headquarters on the Illinois side of the Quad Cities there. You're, I would guess, 40 minutes, 45 from headquarters right. to your farm, but very close to a couple of their outfits that are there in Davenport. And
close
the north
to Harvester,
side.
Yeah. Close to Seeding Group, close to World Headquarters, and there's a lot of different pieces to that. Obviously, some of the domestic folks are a department, let's say an accounting department,
sure.
that's coming over to the farm. Many of them have never seen a tractor, a combine, and so we show them that. Maybe they do a team building exercise out at the farm with us, and all of that is promoting agriculture. And, you know, we have a self-serve store where we serve the products off of our farm, such as our beef, our pork, our cheese, our eggs, our baked goods, those sorts of things right there on the farm. And those folks just are really, really enamored with what fresh off the farm is like
sure.
and how that makes a difference in their lives and their family and everything else.
When did you decide to open the store on site? Was that right away?
2008.
Okay, so it took a little while.
Later, yes.
What prompted you to do that?
I had so many people asking me for my products. They want to know where their food comes from to the farmer that grew it, because we're a trusted group, but we're even more trusted if we know exactly the farmer, and they know that I don't use antibiotics to promote growth, and those sorts of decisions that I think should be made in agriculture, and make sure that we know that it's safe, we know that it's healthy, we know those things. So that really is what promotes the store a lot. And it's really for the local folks.
Well, but that's okay because they want to locally source their product.
That's right.
And they
that's
know
right.
that, oh, well, that's John's Farm. Yeah, yeah, I love those, you know.
Yeah.
It's like where I grew up near Waterloo. My mom drinks a lot of the Hanson dairy milk because it's over in Hudson. It's not that far away, and she knows that that's where. Nothing wrong with the other stuff in Iowa especially.
That's
you
right.
know, there's a lot of great
that's
dairy
right.
around. So you mentioned these foreign visitors. I would imagine some of the countries they come from, the word hormone or antibiotic is almost a swear word. So this is an opportunity when they come for you. Right. I'm guessing they ask some pointed questions and you get a chance to head some of those off and have good discussions.
Yeah.
What are those questions they're asking you and how do you answer them?
There are two questions that almost always come up, especially from a European group. GMO, non-GMO, organic, non-organic. And so how I take those questions is, isn't it wonderful that we have so many choices as a population to eat so many different things? And we can decide we want to eat GMO, we want to eat non-GMO, organic, non-organic, dairy, non-dairy, all those sorts of choices. And it's wonderful that, and you can bet that 3 out of 3 people eat every day. And every one of those, a farmer grew it for them. And so I take farmers and put them all under the same umbrella. We're all growing food for the world. So therefore, all of that is part of agriculture. And all of that is wonderful for all the choices out there. So I am a very big proponent for the organic farmer. I have some land that I grow organically, but my dairy is not organic. But that doesn't make it right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it that we're all feeding for the world. And that is what the agriculture story is and should be. And to put one farming group practice against another is just wrong. And to have that promotion, whether it be dairy, I get it that some people don't like dairy. That's okay. But I'll bet they eat something that a farmer grew.
Right.
Otherwise,
right.
they're on the wrong there? Side of the grass.
Well, and they, exactly, and I don't know how they're upright is what
yeah,
I was going to say.
Right.
You picked a different way to
yeah.
say that. So as you see, there goes a show, cow come by, and another one will come by, and
yep.
you see everybody kind of getting ready here and trying to put on a good face.
Yep.
But some of the people that are walking by on this boulevard don't really know. They're kind of lost.
They are.
And they don't really know. So how tempted are you to pull someone or just engage with someone?
I do it
say,
all the time. My favorite time is just like when you're walking with a puppy. When I'm walking to the cow, to the wash rat, that happened this morning, or to go milk. I'm the shuttle guy.
Okay.
And so I shuttle the animals there. And when I see a young person would be, in my definition today, under 12 years old, I would say, would you like to pet the cow? Would you like to learn a little bit more about him? And I bet you this morning I've engaged in at least 50 youth with that very same thing, talking about, you know, that cows, you know, they don't, in front, they don't have teeth on the top. And they don't bite. And they're very gentle. And I let them pet it. And sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of a snot coming out of their nose. And they talk about wiping. And one of the young men this morning had popcorn in his bag. Why he eats popcorn for breakfast, I don't know.
Anything goes at the fair for food.
That's right. Anything goes as fair food. So anyway, he's got about half gone. And I said, you know what? I think Peppermint was the name of the cow. I think Peppermint would like your popcorn. And he says, it's not very good anyway. And he wanted Peppermint to
wanted
eat
to get
it.
Rid of the popcorn.
That's right. So he can go on to the next fair food.
So did Peppermint eat the popcorn?
Peppermint sniffed it. But that's where she stopped.
Yeah.
She said, you know, I prefer my corn in other ways, I think is what she was saying. So anyway, but it's a part of the fair experience. It's fun to watch. It's fun to promote here. This is a great opportunity for agriculture to come to the public. And you do it through food. I mean, the fair is a great spot to do all these different kind of food things. In fact, I think Iowa Public Television does segments on different fair foods.
We do, and they were shooting it yesterday, the new fair foods. Yesterday, I didn't get to do that story, but I was over at one of the areas that was called The Chief, and it was a fried tortilla-ish breaded thing with brisket and then coleslaw on top, and I thought it was fantastic. That was one of my, I was like, that was really good. I couldn't go wrong with any of that. Yeah. So, okay, there are more than 3,000 media members from around the world here right now. You really have to kind of shake them loose to see where they're at or not see where they're at. Are you tempted, as someone who loves to tell others about agriculture, to just kind of walk through and find one of those camera crews that's hanging around there for a candidate and just say, you know, I got a place you need to come see. Let me talk to you about it. Have you done that?
I've done that three times this morning.
Good for you.
And, you know, I asked them what their purpose was of being here, and every one of them said presidential candidates are being here. And I said, can you name all 20 whatever there are? And they couldn't get past five.
Yeah.
But they want to cover them, and that is what. So what an opportunity for agriculture to come to this with all the media and everything else. In fact, we're looking at a person with a camera right now.
Yeah, that is someone who's not from Iowa.
No.
And he's getting pictures.
And he also doesn't farm. Anybody with that hairdo does not farm.
Now, some are, yeah, he hasn't, yeah, you can't shower before you have to go out to the barn every time.
The thing I'm saying is the hair, every hair is where it belongs. And on the farm,
it doesn't.
You get past that when you walk out the door and it's windy.
Well, so I would just say that's a good opportunity for ag this week.
That's right.
To pull them in. Because you know
Absolutely.
How, I know with market to market, we get, you know, they know, our consumers know what we're going to cover. But we know that, and I always say, I wish everybody watched our show who didn't understand agriculture to get a better handle of it. So that's our opportunity to network and talk about it. And we know that stories done by other organizations don't always portray agriculture either accurately or fairly.
Right.
And I would say to anybody who's here at the fair, this is your chance to go get that
media member and pull them on and say,
let me show you how I care for my animals. This whole thing of the video that came out here a couple of months ago of a dairy, I think it was Indiana, to show nobody cares for their animal like that. Look at this. They have their own fans. They have a huge foot of pad to sleep on. I mean, what a great bed.
I'm a supervisor in Scott County, and there are folks that live far worse than any of my 800 head of animals in Davenport. And granted, we should care for those people too, but that promotion is. And I would tell you, you know, you're basically market to market is a farm listening station. And I can't emphasize enough, one of the best things that they could do, every single one of them, is to tell their story to someone who doesn't know the story. We tend to be surrounded by friends and family that know the story, but we don't reach out much. We don't go to that person that has that fantastic hairdo and say, let me tell you a little bit about what I do and how I supply food for the world. And that story needs to be told and should be told, because that is our future right there. And the light that we put it on is the story that will combat the person, because that story came out in Indiana, and many, many, many people did not go with it because they knew the real story, because farmers have told that story, or people in agriculture have told the story accurately. So I applaud you folks at Market to Market for telling the story and hoping that more and more people watch it and see it and do it as part of that ag promotion, because it takes everybody to make this happen and to make it work.
And we appreciate you taking time to tell us and to help others and get some of those people that are podcast folks that don't listen to ag, and you did a great job. Thank you so much,
awesome
John.
Awesome experience. It is wonderful. And furthermore, another awesome experience is experiencing the Iowa State Fair.
All right. We appreciate your time, John. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much also.
The M2M is a production of Iowa Public Television and the Market to Market TV show. Feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email, paul.yeager@iptv.org. Please like, please share, please tell a friend that you are cool enough to listen to the M2M podcast. Thanks for listening.